sometimes you find things on the way to other things. I ran across this verse when I was looking for some other things. I'll read a little bit before it. It's in Isaiah 11. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Verse 3, his delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. That was certainly Jesus. He followed what the Father was doing. But for us, not to go by what our eyes see or by what we hear, but rather by the Spirit of God, just like him. Spirit rested on him. That is a lifetime thing, where we pay attention more to the other world, the spirit world, which has such impact on people's lives. Last night I went to bed, and suddenly I was attacked. I felt I was attacked. The enemy was telling me, you're going to die of a heart attack. I started shaking. So I went into the bathroom. Anytime I feel kind of weird, I take a bath. It calms everything. So I prepared the bath. I was shaking. Literally had, my teeth were rattling. Just out of the blue. And so I prepared the bath, jumped in, you know, and felt calmness, but the enemy came and said, you're going to die in this bathtub. I'm going to drown you. You know, you have a choice when something like that happens to you. People believe lies about so many parts of their life. And I rose up and I said, no, I won't. I'm not going to die. Certainly not going to have a heart attack. And I'm not going to die by drowning. Mary Pat was out of the house shopping for today's meal, praise God. And the enemy wanted to drown me in the bathtub. That wouldn't have been a pretty picture when she came home. A naked husband in the bathtub. That she would have to resurrect. So, want any pictures now. Don't be taking any photographs of those memories, of those minds. Anyway, I rebuked it. I cast it off of me. And I started to feel a little better. So I went to bed, and he said, you're going to die of a heart attack in this bed tonight. And I cast it off. And I contended with the enemy. Now this was clear in my spirit. I was hearing from the enemy in my spirit. And then, in my spirit, he put a picture of the face of Jesus. And this picture of Jesus was saying that I was going to die of a heart attack. Now, I had a choice. I could decide, oh, Jesus is telling me this. Or I could say, I don't think so. I think it's a lie. Some of you are already thinking I'm a little bit weird. I can feel it. You're waiting for the next weirdness. But I'm sorry, it goes on. The enemy tried to use a picture of Jesus. In my spirit, I had to discern whether that was really Jesus or not. Some people just assume everything's God when they hear something. Oh, well, I guess I'm going to die. God wants it that way. I tend to think Jesus is about resurrection life. Not, you know, he came back from the dead. He took away the sting of death. And so that scripture came to mind. You know, that death, where's your sting? Where is it? It's not here. Not tonight. Now, I'm not always this quick, but I was contending. I really was, because the enemy was beating on me. I was not feeling comfortable physically. I'm still shaking some. And he's trying to convince me. And then the Lord came. After I contended for a while, the Lord came with his voice. It was calm and gentle, where this had been forceful. The voice of the enemy had been almost accusing. That tone to it, you're going to die. And the Lord told me, you're not going to die. You're going to live. In fact, he gave me a number of what I was going to live to. Three times. I won't. She won't let me. Days a year. Oh, wow. I think I'd grow moss by then. So, I was battling. And it ended up that the Lord showed me that I was not only battling for myself, I was battling for another person who was having difficulties with their heart. I wasn't having any, but the enemy was trying to convince me I was. So I battled for two people. What a privilege. Now this is supposed to be sleep time. Rest. And then he showed me the strong tower. And so I ran into it. And then I realized, wait, I have to get the other person. So I carried the other person inside the strong tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. His presence can defeat these lies that come against us. I felt really at peace once I got into the strong tower. I think possibly that might be part of the problem we might have. We don't realize we have to contend. We have to fight. And it was revelation to me more than ever that so many are being overwhelmed by the lies of the enemy. Now, that doesn't have anything to do with the message today. Aren't you glad? But we need to fight. We need to contend. And I started laughing and singing. That's part of the way I contend. Whenever I'm physically not feeling well, I kind of groan, laugh, and sing all at once. And it does something in my spirit. Then I was speaking in my heavenly language. And I just felt like, wow, the peace is there. The peace is here. I'm in the strong tower. I'm not going to die. I'm going to live. This is a lie. This is a complete lie from the enemy. Why would he attack me so much? I think I know the answer. Revelation, revelation, revelation. Prior to my feeling this attack, I was getting so much revelation about today's message. And some of you might say, well, we've heard that before. It's just Pastor Bill. He says that, so we'll listen. He says that, so he sounds significant. But I felt very honored to receive the revelation and then get attacked. Because he was trying to keep me from coming today. And I contended for quite a while, and Mary Pat came home, Pastor Mary Pat came home, and she started praying for me and bringing water up. And the Lord told me, you know, you do have a physical need, and so, you know, take care of that. He revealed it to me what it really was, and it wasn't that dramatic. And so I began to take care of that, and Pastor Mary Pat was helping me with that. And then she checked on me throughout the night. And I didn't get that much sleep. But you know what? It's worth it. Because I'm here. And I'm ready to share. Now, knowing that it's Easter, and we have meals, and we have all of that, I would expect your kind attention so that we can make quick work of this. It's only really four words that you need to know. You might remember a message I gave: honor, alignment, and favor. Well, the Lord said, there's more to this honor thing that I want to share. There's more to some other aspects I want to give out to the body. It's four this time. That was three. What? Did I say something wrong? Oh, just checking. It's four this time, three last time. And it could be boiled down to something else, I suppose. All right, here they are. Honor, covenant, covenant leading to unity and blessing. Honor, covenant, and you could just put unity if you want, or you can add blessing as well. Now, I gave a message, I think, last year about covenant, how important that was for the body. But you see, if there is an honor for the Lord and honor for our fellow believers, then we'll never make it to covenant with one another. And that's where the rubber really meets the road. Covenanting with one another to accomplish the will of God and the mission of God. Some of us are more in covenant than others. That would be true for any body of believers. Some, as we say, get it, that you must be in covenant in order to have unity. You can't just come in and slap hands and slap backs and smile at everybody and think there's unity. That's not the truth, is it? In order to have real unity and individual blessing, we have to have covenant based on honor. And it's a holy thing. If we as believers could understand this, we'd be a tight-knit community. Every person being used in their giftings in the body. Every person feeling valuable. They would know their niche. They would know their place. I don't know how many times people have said, I just don't know where I fit. I don't know my place. And from the front, we're saying it's in the presence of God. Holy Spirit will reveal to you. We kind of try to, you know, maybe guide that a little bit. But actually, it's the Holy Spirit that shows you your place in the body. In order to have honor, you must have the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 15:33. If they have it right. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. We must have the fear of the Lord, and we must have humility in order to honor God, honor fellow believers, honor our spouses. If we don't fear the Lord in the right way, we don't honor what He honors, and we don't have humility in order to lower ourselves to lift up somebody else or to lift up the name of the Lord, then we won't really honor people, will we? We'll look to find something in them to tear them down, to make them a little less than us. We'll find something to be critical of, something to be judgmental of. And we won't honor. Before we can have honor, we have to have the fear of the Lord. We have to have humility. When we honor God, obviously we're honoring the Father and we're honoring Jesus the same. Even though He humbled Himself and came to earth in bodily form, when He went back, He was raised up to the highest place, wasn't He? And is to come. So honoring God, that would be a no-brainer, right? We say, well, yeah, that's why we're here today. Honor the Lord for resurrecting from the dead. We get juiced up about that. It's kind of fun, you know? There's an atmosphere when you come in this place on Resurrection Sunday. A little bit different atmosphere. Because people are juiced up about the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. The only person in history, obviously. Others have laid claim to it, but never happened. Only with Jesus did He come back from the dead. So we're to honor God, we're to honor men, honor spiritual leaders. We're even to honor all people. 1 Peter 2:17. All people. How in the world do you do that? How do we honor Donald Trump? First Peter 2:17. It is in this Bible. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Even secular leaders we're supposed to honor. And husbands, we're supposed to honor our wives. Whoa. That's a whole nother message, ladies. Maybe Mother's Day. Honor all people. How do we do that? How do we honor people that are dishonorable? Holy Spirit will give us a way to do that. You know, Moses honored Pharaoh while he was appealing. He honored his position. He went before him and appealed. Why didn't he just start all those plagues, you know? Out in front of the palace. I'm sure Pharaoh would come out. But he let him know ahead of time. This is what's going to happen. Unless you let my people go. Let God's people go. He honored him by even notifying him, giving him the opportunity to turn. There are several types of covenants. This is important. Several types of covenants in the Bible. There's a two-sided covenant. That's human parties. They voluntarily accept the terms of an agreement. Now that would certainly be the marriage covenant. Vows are given at the wedding. There's an accepting of the terms of the agreement, the terms of the contract. And it's before God, at least most of the time. It's before God. And we invite him to come in and make that covenant stick, make that covenant work. Marriage, I don't know if you've noticed, is impossible. It's absolutely impossible. Two human beings sharing the same bathroom and they're opposite genders? That takes God. That takes him to come in. Make that work. One squeezes the, you know, toothpaste and the other one rolls it up and one puts it all over the bathroom and the other one keeps it nice and neat and in the corner. The one puts the toothbrush, you know, in the case, in the drawer. The other one, oh, anyone seen my toothbrush? Guess I need a new one. Isn't that the third one you've bought this month? Can't find it. See, you don't know which one I am. There's two-sided covenants for friendship, marriage, political alliance in the Bible. In order to have a treaty, you have to have a covenant. Two-sided. Two countries that agree. Now, we know, Jim, that they keep breaking those treaties, these nations. Keep breaking them. It's because they don't have God involved most of the time with their treaties. He's the only one that can make them stick. See, they're impossible for two countries to agree on disagreeable terms. I think the border should be here. No, I think it should be down here. I think it should be over there. I'd like to draw the border. No, I think I should. Why should you? Well, because I'm the more powerful person, more powerful nation. I should draw the border. But you're infringing on my rights. As a nation, a smaller nation. Well, who cares? I'm the bigger nation. I'm more powerful. I can squash you like a bug. You know, this doesn't work. Borders, people fight over borders. World War I, all they did was dig a bunch of trenches across the fields and take as many trenches as they could. And then the other army would come the other way and take as many trenches as they could. They fought over the same territory for years, back and forth, trying to gain advantage. Millions of lives lost, not much gained, even in territory in a sense, because they were fighting over the same ground, back and forth, back and forth. Needs God. But that's a two-sided human covenant. There are probably others. Then there's a one-sided covenant. It's imposed by a superior party. There are commands to be obeyed. You know, that's kind of what happened with Adam. Just one command. Just one. You only have to keep just one. One rule. Just one. That's not too hard. Just one. I mean, think about it. He had the whole garden. He walked with God in the cool of the day. Got to run around in his birthday suit. One. And he couldn't do it. It was a covenant based on a command to be obeyed, and he couldn't do it. It was one-sided. Superior party, God. Inferior party, Adam and Eve. They couldn't keep just one rule. Is it any wonder that they had trouble with 10, and then they had trouble with all the other commands of God and the statutes, and on and on and on, and the ceremonies, and the pull this and sacrifice that and take this in and get two of those and one of these and make sure that this one is completely without fault or flaw. Is it any wonder why they couldn't keep up with that? They couldn't even keep up with one rule. And then there's the self-imposed covenant. God comes in and says, I'm going to make everything all right. I'm going to reconcile sinners to myself. I'm going to bring in redemptive love. I'm going to redeem you because you can't keep even one rule. You certainly couldn't keep 10. And all the other ones, you're way behind in keeping those. So I'm going to come in and rescue you by being a redeemer. I'm going to be the one responsible for the covenant. I'm going to initiate it, and I'm going to follow it through. It's all based on me. It's not based on you. It's not based on your good works. It's not based on your goodness. It's based on me. How many know that's the best covenant? That one works for everyone. Christ fulfilled all righteousness so we could be restored. He took the hits. See, in his covenant, he takes the hits. He established it and takes the hits. We get all the benefits. It's amazing. Based on grace, based on mercy. Not on our ability to obey, but on our ability to receive. Receive his covenant. Come into covenant with him, into relationship with him. He is much more concerned about relationship with us than he is about our performance. Aren't you glad? If it was based on our performance, we're all crispy critters. We're all toast. But since it's based on his self-imposed covenant, his grace, his mercy, we're free. We're free. There are several parts to a covenant. The covenant arrangement. You have the mediator, the testator. That's Jesus. You have the heirs, the called ones. That's us. You have the gracious bequest, in other words, a gift. That's salvation. That's a relationship with God forever. If we truly know Jesus, you have a condition to receive the
the quest. We have to be in relationship with Him. We can't just expect to have salvation without a relationship with the mediator. We have to be connected with Him. We have to be related to Him. We have to come into His family. He's the one that's giving out the good covenant. We have to join in with that and receive it. It's not a difficult thing. And then there's the inheritance. Eternal salvation. Forever. You see, when God makes a covenant, He likes forever covenants. Everlasting covenants. If you go into the Old Testament, you'll see that. Everlasting, 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 everlasting. This is an everlasting covenant. This is an everlasting covenant. He doesn't like the cheap. He likes the valuable. He likes to add value to us. And so, He takes all of the requirements of the covenant on Himself. Because a covenant requires death at some point. It requires death. You must have death in a covenant. And Jesus fulfilled that. Hebrews 9. This is a key passage on covenants. If you have a Bible, please take a look at this. Then indeed, even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service, and the earthly sanctuary, for a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary, and behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. Tablets of the covenant and two miracles, even back in the Old Testament. There's still miracles happening today. If we're in covenant, we find that out very quickly. He can't wait to show what kind of God He really is. And so He just put it in the Ark of the Covenant a long time ago just to let us know this is always going to be part of what happens in the covenant we have with God. There's going to be some things that He will require of us, and there'll be some things that He just loves to bless us with. Miracles, signs and wonders. And above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we can not now speak in detail. Now when these things had been thus prepared, the priests always went into the first part of the tabernacle performing the services, but into the second part of the high priest went alone once a year and without blood, and not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. The old covenant in the Old Testament was atonement by priest. In the New Testament, it's atonement by priest. It's just a little better priest. Quite a bit better. God loves to give an upgrade. He loves to do that. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience. Concerned only with foods and drinks, various washings and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of Reformation. But Christ came as high priest, here we go, of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place, once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Those things in the Old Testament are shadow, symbols. But now, we have the real, and it's been extended to us, the Gentiles. Awesome. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a better sprinkling, of a heifer sprinkling, the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. There were people called in the Old Testament, and they had faith in God, and when Jesus died, all that faith was activated for their salvation. Wow. He not only takes care of us, he takes care of the past. It's not the past to him. He doesn't dwell in time. That's why he died from the foundation of the world, because it's all the same to him. Time, he doesn't have a watch, doesn't have a clock. That's of this earth. For where there is a testament, think of testament as covenant. So there's an Old Testament covenant, and there's a New Testament covenant. For where there's a testament, there must also, of necessity, be the death of the testator. Probably never saw that word before. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people. People were sprinkled with blood. How'd you like that meeting? Come to Frontline. We're going to kill a bull tonight. Sprinkle the Bible with blood and all of you. Good thing it was a symbol. Saying, "This is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you." Then likewise he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And according to the law, almost all things were purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Therefore it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with the better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into the heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once, at the end of ages, the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation.
Wow, that's a heavy passage.
But basically, we have Jesus. He's the one that keeps our covenant. It's not based on us. Isn't that freeing? He initiates it. He keeps it. He makes sure that everything is accomplished. He says it's finished. He raises from the dead. He dies, then he raises from the dead. Ascends into heaven and takes his rightful place. And all we have to do is receive it? No bulls. No sheep. No turtle doves. This is beyond amazing. The new covenant. I know we've all enjoyed that and come into relationship with Jesus if we know him. But we need to appreciate it far more. What this covenant is. What Jesus actually did for us. Amazing that he would do that. Initiate it and fulfill it. Wow. Thank you, Lord. So there are some specific features of covenants. God gives full grace. It's not according to man's works. Ephesians 2:8-9. Titus 3:5. You know, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercies. Thank you, Lord. The specific feature of the death of the testator, we mentioned that. The promise, I will be their God and they shall be my people. It's all through the Bible. I will be your God. You be my people. Genesis 17:7, all the way through Revelation 21:3. Another feature is an everlasting inheritance. We mentioned that. In the Old Testament, in Leviticus 2:11, it says, it's a covenant of salt. Huh? What the world's that? Salt's a preservative. It's a covenant that is preserved, and we're preserved in it. Another feature of a covenant, there's always a symbol, a sign, like Noah with the rainbow. What did that rainbow represent? I'm not going to wipe you out again like this with water. The next time it'll be fire. But I'm not going to wipe you out with water. So there was a rainbow. And every time we see a rainbow, oh wow, that's so cool, it's just great. Because it's a sign, a symbol of this grand covenant with Noah. Well, there's a bunch of them. I think we mentioned this when I gave the message on covenants a while ago. We'll get into those in a moment. There's a bunch of covenants in the Old Testament. But another feature, the appropriation of the covenant benefits requires a human response. We have to respond in order to become part of the ones that get the benefits. How do we respond? By faith, Hebrews 11. Obedience, John 14:21-23. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. It's based on love. Love first, it's much easier to obey. We've gotten that messed up in the body of Christ. We think, obey first, and it'll show my love for God. No, love God first, and then the obedience is much easier to take care of. Because you're already in love with him so much, you want to obey him. You desire to obey him. So, Obedience. And then genuine faith. We demonstrate our works. We demonstrate faith by our works. But works don't save us. But we demonstrate our faith by loving others. Loving God and loving others. James 2:14 through 26. We have to have works in there somewhere. But it's after we've received the benefits of the covenant, do we show that we actually are following through with that relationship with God? Because there's no way we can't do good works. So, you know, if we're not doing good works, if we don't even know what the good works are supposed to be, then there's some grieving of Holy Spirit going on. There's some quenching of Holy Spirit going on because He's all about good works. He's all about loving God and loving people. You know, the two greatest commandments. He's all about it. And so when we're in covenant with Him, when we're honoring God and we're enjoying this covenant that He has with us, there's no way you can keep people away from good works. That's why this, you know, there's so many people in this body that are just so generous towards other people. Oftentimes, the needs in the body are already taken care of by the time the leadership hears about it. That's awesome. I said, that's awesome. That's wonderful. So all these covenants in the Old Testament, the Edenic, Eden, Covenant of Eden, Genesis 3:15, what was the purpose or the promise? It was the promise of redemption. It was the earliest promise of redemption, you know, where Satan's head would be bruised or crushed and the heel of Jesus or the heel of man even would be bruised. Jesus was bruised so Satan could be crushed. Awesome. That was a covenant in the Old Testament, all the way back to Genesis. God was already thinking about that. The covenant of Noah, that the human race would be saved from extinction. And it would never happen again with a flood. And there's signs with these. Satan's head crushed for the Edenic. The rainbow for the Noah one. Abraham, he got the real good one. Circumcision. Oops. Anyway, Abraham's line. Think of the promises to Abraham and Sarah. Your descendants will be as many as the stars in the sky and the sands of the sea. Can you imagine? He didn't really, you know, it's like, okay. How about I take care of that for you, God? Since Sarah is, you know, let's be honest, old. I need to take care of that. When we do that, when we get messed around to the point where we're trying to take care of the covenants, not a good thing. We obey the covenant giver. We relate to the covenant giver, but we don't try to do our own little deal with the covenants. That's why, brothers and sisters, there's some problems with our covenant in the body of Christ worldwide. It's because there are so many that want to do the covenant their way. Oh, I'll love somebody as long as it doesn't, you know, take too much. I'll give, I'll be generous if I have it in my bank account. You know, we limit what Holy Spirit wants to do often. That's not in the covenant. Limit Holy Spirit. Not there. We run into problems when we try to perform the covenant according to what we think rather than the way a miraculous God is. Some of you have, you know, stepped out of positions before you had another position. Some of you made career changes before you really knew that you had it right in your hand. I've done that. It's amazing that people would do that. Oh, I want something in my hand. See, the natural way, the way of the earth is, well, I want something before I step out. I'll keep this job until I find a new one. Something like that. Often, Holy Spirit's not leading that way. He wants us to step out of the boat. He wants us to step out in faith. Well, I'll go to that nation when he calls me. He already did. What are you going to do about it? Well, which nation, Lord? Ohio, USA. Oh, okay. I thought you were going to take me to Singapore or something. Next time. Then there was the Sinai covenant. Sinaitic covenant. Israel became God's chosen people. And there were tablets that were given. Remember these guys? They were more of a sign and a symbol than anything. What they're trying to say is, honor me. Love me. Jesus boiled these down and everything in the Old Testament to two. Two. That was an upgrade because, remember, Adam and Eve only had one. But two, love your neighbor as yourself, God, you know, with your whole heart, mind, soul. But he was trying to say that way back in this covenant. He was saying, these are a symbol of honoring me and honoring other people. Thou shalt have no other God before me, honoring God. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Don't make idols, Hindus, please. You know, those are honoring God. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Now that's not swearing. It's way beyond that. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. These are honoring God. Then he starts in on honoring people. Starts with father and mother. Ooh. Honor thy father and thy mother. What's the promise with that one? Long life. Okay. Get with those families today and help your mom get that meal ready and get dad off the couch to help her too. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. All have to do with relationships with people. How we treat people. Now, we look at these and say, well, that's pretty basic. I don't steal. Ooh, you know, then you get into the heart thing and it's like, ooh, maybe I do steal. Quite a bit. I steal from God. I steal from other people. Time, if that gets in there, woo. You know, these are kind of heavy, but they're just a symbol. Some people, you know, they make such a huge deal about having these posted, and they've got to be part of everything that they do. But Jesus already went on to the newness. He generalized it because we have Holy Spirit to come up with the specifics now. They needed specifics. They had Holy Spirit that would come and, you know, dwell on them for a short period of time. We have Holy Spirit inside always, so he can interpret the specifics. And people ask all the time, well, what should I do in this situation? Well, have you asked Holy Spirit? Oh, that makes sense. I'll do that since he lives inside of me and he'll probably tell me. That's right. He certainly will. It's our job often just to convince the person, yes, he will speak to you. He wants to. He'll use the Bible. He'll use a word in your spirit. Just like last night. Go into the tower. I said, okay. Take the other person in there too. Carried him in. Tower of safety. Tower of his presence. It's no safer place. And then, you know, there's a Levitical covenant, reconciliation by the priestly atonement. That was where the high priest went into the Holy of Holies once a year. And all the sacrifices all year long. And then he goes in and, you know, presents that in the Holy of Holies. Aren't you glad we don't have that system anymore? We can do that. We can go before God. And Jesus already took care of it for us. But we just agree with him now. We just agree with him. That was a sin, God. And God's like, yeah. I forgot it. You what? Yeah. Jesus covered it. I forgot it. You forgot my sin? Well, I mean, in one sense, yes, totally. In another sense, he used his Holy Spirit to convict us. Right? But it's not held against us if we know Jesus. So condemnation is out. Shame, out. Get rid of it. It's more debilitating than the sin itself. Often. Now, do we want people to have patterns of sin? No. Obviously, you're saying to Jesus, I'm trampling all over your blood. I'm trampling all over your sacrifice. That's not a good thing. And so, yes, leadership will probably say something to your life. Why? To help you get back into relationship with your covenant maker and your covenant keeper. There's the Davidic covenant. All these have verses and so on, but that'll be in the book. No. Did I say that? No. Okay, so, you know, David's line would lead to what? A Messiah. How would you like to know that? Your line, your family, your generations are going to lead to the Messiah. Really? Yeah. And you're going to be a picture of the Christ. My life? Yes. But he still didn't get to build the temple. His son had to do it because he was a man of war. Interesting, huh? But his line still ended up with the Messiah. Benefits of the covenant. And then the new covenant. Salvation finished in Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. We read it in Hebrews 9. The new covenants in Hebrews 9:15, salvation is the promise, the purpose of the covenant in Hebrews 9:28. What's the sign of the new covenant? Resurrection. That's kind of powerful. Sign. That's kind of a powerful sign, Lord. I think you really upgraded things in the new covenant. Resurrection is the sign? Wow! Awesome! Amazing! John 20. Where's the resurrection of Jesus? Is the sign and the symbol of the covenant. I think he wanted us to get it this time. All these different covenants. How many are there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The new covenant is the 7th. Interesting. But, you know, he wanted us to get it this time. All these different covenants. Maybe you didn't know about them, but they were, you know, some of them you've heard pieces and bits. What did they lead to? The new covenant and resurrection is the sign of it. Think of it. Jesus was fully in covenant in the Trinity. Always has been. Fully in covenant. with the Father even while he was on earth in a bodily form and set his glory aside, he was still in covenant with the Trinity, still in covenant with his Father and Holy Spirit in everything he did. Never made a miscue or a misstep. Incredible. Kept the covenant for us. It was all about us. It was not, you know, it wasn't just so he could have his name raised up, because he gave up his glory when he came down to fulfill the covenant for us. He can do that. I mean, he's humble, so he can set his glory aside. And what does all that covenant lead to? What does it all lead to? Flipping the same pages. It leads to unity. If we can covenant with one another, I think Christy had a picture of tributaries a while ago, and that was being talked about quite a bit in the last couple of weeks, people bringing that up. Think of the tributaries of a river. They come into the main river and make it sometimes a swollen, flooded, you know, river. It's no longer the same as it was, because it's bringing in from various places and becoming part of the main river. You know, that's the way it's supposed to be in this body, in any body, and the body of Christ across the earth, is you're supposed to be one of the tributaries. You're supposed to flow into the main river. You're not just supposed to be like a little pool out there by yourself. Just going to splash around in my pool. I don't know about this church thing or really being in covenant and all that. I just want to splash around in my pool. I'll just build my little kingdom. I'll be a Christian, but I'm not going to listen to any of these people. I'm not going to really associate with them. Oh, I'll come here and there and breeze in and breeze out. But you know, that was not the way it was supposed to be. Each one of us is supposed to figure out how we add to the main river. How can we add to the main river? What's our niche? What's our purpose as we flow into the main river? How are we going to make it swell? How am I to add to the main river so it goes over its banks and floods? You know, that's not always a bad thing. The Nile, the Egyptians built a whole civilization on the flooding of the Nile. It was a good thing. They would know the time it was going to flood. It would fill their irrigation ditches, and they would be a prosperous land because the flooding was of benefit. The covenant of the tributaries coming into the Nile and the Nile flooding over its banks blessed the people. Blessed them as a corporate body and blessed them individually. What did Jesus pray in John 17 over and over again? That we would be one. One with the Father and one with Jesus and one with Holy Spirit, and they're one with each other, and we're supposed to be so tied into that we're not just something separate. We come to church as a separate entity. There's too much thought, maybe, in our minds that I come to church and fellowship with other people. Actually, you're bringing Holy Spirit in you to match up with Holy Spirit in the rest of us, and it becomes a more powerful presence of Holy Spirit. It's not about what I can get coming to fellowship with other believers. What am I going to get a vision? Am I going to get a dream? Am I going to understand something better in the Bible? Am I? But rather, in covenant, it's how I can lay myself down and die. How I can die. The various ways I can die in order to serve someone else, love someone else. So when we walk in here in the next few weeks, I'd like you to, you know, ask Holy Spirit, how am I supposed to die today? Paul said, I die daily in 1 Corinthians 15:31. He said, I die daily. Why did he die daily? Because he was part of the covenant with that burgeoning young church. The exciting time when Jesus was being spread to other areas. And he went through all kinds of stuff for that to happen. But what was his thought? I am building up new believers. I am helping them with their faith. I am, in many cases, I have to stand up to their stuff. The Corinthian believers had a few things going on. A little strange. And he had to come in and correct. Think what that's like. Some would say, what does he know? You know, who's he anyway? We haven't seen him around here. Should we listen to him? The church was new. But now you know why you should listen to me. Revelation. So in John 17, he prays for us that we'll be one. In Ephesians 4, let's just read some of that. Ephesians 4. Amazing passage. Verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. We could just do that over and over and over again with each other, you know? I know you have to bear with me. I should step up to the plate and bear with you. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Jesus said he gave us the unity as a gift, John 17. As a gift. Here's the unity. We had it at the beginning. If we've lost it, it's because we've decided not to step into our covenant with people. Take a hit for someone. Would you die for me? Would I die for you? We should get to that place where the answer would be yes, with God's grace. Never in our own strength should we ever say that we would die for someone. Oh yes, I'll die for you. I mean, somebody said that, I think, in the New Testament. Peter, maybe. And he couldn't even fulfill it for 24 hours. But we can die for one another with the power of the Holy Spirit. And we may never have to do that physically, but we certainly should do that in love. I want to die for you. I want to die for you. I want to die for you that you would benefit by the covenant. You would benefit by honoring God and honoring others. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Are you getting the idea? One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. One, 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 one. Unity, unity. We can't just say it. We have to do the steps before. Honor God in each other. Make a covenant. Receive the benefits of the covenant Jesus made. And then make a covenant with each other. I want you to go forward. I want you to exceed me. I want you to go beyond me. That's true covenant. And Philippians 2, 1 through 4. Phrases like-minded, same love, being in one accord, one mind, no selfish ambition. Look out for the interests of others. No conceit. How do we get there? It takes Holy Spirit, and it takes us honoring, entering into this covenant with each other. Does God take care of the divisive person? Oh, yes. You know, sometimes leadership has to be involved in that. We've done that before. Talk to people that were being divisive. It's not a fun thing. It's not a joy to do that. But praise God, it's been a while. And it's a good thing. Because there's so many that want to just go forward in the presence. They just want to go forward with Jesus. They do want to learn more about how to covenant together and become a real family. Do you know, there's something in the body of Christ that says, just don't get too close. We've noticed that. In fact, we've been accused in the past of getting too close. Not here, from outside, from other, you know, people. Too close. You're too close. What? Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. How close is that? How close is that? You can't get any closer than that. He comes to live inside. I haven't done any of that to you. I haven't come to live inside of you. But I think there should be much closer connection. And we have something inside of us. Don't get too close. Don't get too close. You'll get hurt. You'll get hurt. If someone's not lording over you, you can notice that, by the way. When a leader is lording over you, okay, then it's time to, you know, discuss that with Holy Spirit about, well, maybe I... But when they're not, when they just want your best, get close. Draw in close to the Spirit, to your leaders, to fellow believers. That's true covenant. None of these covenants were people far away from each other. They were relating to each other. They were connected. If you're not feeling connected in frontline and you attend here, that's a sad state of affairs. We've got to solve that. We've got to help with that. Because you're supposed to feel connected. You're supposed to feel that you're in covenant with each person here, with the whole body, with the other people. Well, I don't know that person. No better time than the present. I've never talked to Pastor Bill. He talks to me when he preaches, but I don't talk to him. No better time than the present. I have offices all over Jackson Township. I've met with all kinds of people in those offices. Corky's, Panera Bread, Samantha's, golf courses. Okay. You know, there's no office like a golf cart, I'll tell you that. All right, so unity, this tributary thing. Think about the unity of the universe. Do you know if the Earth's gravity changed just by a very small percentage, that things wouldn't look good? We would drift away from the sun and freeze to death. Or we would drift towards the sun and fry like crispy critters. The moon would smash into the earth. How does God keep that unity and balance going? What's the point there? Just so we can go, oh, that's kind of cool how that gravity works. Oh, you ever thought about it? It's really cool. Gravity's cool. I mean, man, I don't float off this planet. That's amazing. I jump as high as I can jump and I don't keep going. That's amazing, this gravity stuff.
Can't even see it. You can't even see it.
He gives us that picture for a reason. Those planets are in covenant and they're in unity. Those stars, all of it. We wouldn't just have a meteorite hitting us. Otherwise, it'd be the moon. That's a little bigger problem. But it hasn't happened. How does God do that? Why does he do that? So that we'll look up there and say, oh man, there's even a covenant in the universe? There's even unity in the universe? I need to honor the Lord for that. Wow, he gave me that picture. And there's so many things like that on the earth if you look around. I was trying to figure out how the Great Barrier Reef could fit into that and so on. All the different things on earth. Why is there such a fragile balance? They have to be in covenant with the Creator. The coral reefs should be gone. They're very sensitive to temperature changes. And the earth is changing temperatures. Not always good. Because of pollution. At least that's what Al Gore says. I don't know. Final verses. I promise. First, if you'll go there with me. 1 Peter 3, 8 and 9. Well, wait a minute. I lied. I'm sorry. I do have a couple at the end. 1 Peter 3, 8 and 9. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, and not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Why are we wanting to bless others? Well, because it's part of covenant, but also it returns to us. The blessing returns to us. It comes back on our lives. It comes back on our ministry to each other. Blessing is a big part of covenant. Personal blessing and unity, corporate unity, unity with the body, unity with other people that love Jesus. He loves it when we work that way as a body. You know, all those body parts that it talks about in Ephesians. All those body parts moving in unison, in proper balance. Do you want to be an eye or a foot? Or do you just say, where do I fit in the body? Do you have to be the mouthpiece to be content? Or are you looking for Holy Spirit to put you in the proper place? Are you backing off from your responsibilities? Think if the hand did that. Then we only have one. And most of the time we need three. We need to step in to the covenant that God has provided for us. Jesus, through the resurrection, gave us this beautiful covenant. It's new. It's still new. After 2,000 years, it's still new. It's still the new covenant. It's not the old new. It's still new for each of us. Because we're alive. And we still can throw ourselves into the ground and die like a grain of wheat, like it says in John 12, 23 through 26. Or a grain of wheat. Is willing to die, just like Jesus did. You see, he's asking us to do the same thing as he did. Die. And then we really get blessed. We resurrect. We bring out new fruit. We come back from the dead. I want that for you in the body. I want you to come back from the dead. If you've been kind of, you know, a cadaver, Jesus raised. If you've been dead to your giftings and dead to your destiny, He wants to raise you up. He wants you to have new life. Father, we thank You, Lord, that You're able to do that with each person here. You're able to draw them in through honor, Lord, fearing You, which is the beginning of wisdom, and humbling ourselves, Father, that we would honor You and honor others. Then we can truly come into a covenant that You've provided for us, closer and closer to build the kingdom. And then there's blessing and unity because of that. Thank You, God. Personal blessing and corporate unity. We receive it today. It's a gift. You provided the unity. We just are supposed to maintain it. Thank You, God. Through Holy Spirit, we want to do that. We want to draw closer together, not fly apart. We want the gravity in our fellowship and our family to draw us closer together for the work of the kingdom. We thank You, God. You'll show us through Holy Spirit how to do all of that. And we give You the praise on this resurrection day. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank You, Lord.